There once was a kingdom, and it was about in the Middle Ages. It's obviously not now. It's back kind of like in King Arthur's time. And there was a king, and in that kingdom, it was one of the best kingdoms around. Everyone was happy, at least for a while. And then people started realizing this king has all this power. They wanted some of that power, and they started to rebel against this king, even though he had done nothing wrong, and he was actually very good compared to many other kings of the land. So they began to rebel, and the king, obviously, you can't have a government that lets people rebel, so he had to drive them out. He could not let them be in his kingdom anymore. He had to drive those who rebelled out of the kingdom. So they went away, and they went out of the kingdom, and the king, he was so sorrowful, he was so sad about this. He was agonized that people had rebelled against him, and he wanted them back. He wanted to get them back. However, there was a problem. The people, they couldn't find their way back. They couldn't come back to the kingdom even if they wanted to. So he had to find a way to get them back. Only he could do it because he had the power to do it. And the people did not have the power themselves. So he had to find a way. He had to stay in his kingdom because the king just can't go everywhere he wants. He has to stay in his kingdom. But he had to send someone. So the only person, the best person that he could find to send was his own son, the prince of that kingdom. And he was a very, very good prince and very knowledgeable. And he could do this for them. He could get them back there. So this prince, he comes down there. He comes and finds the people. And he brings them. However, he has to get them back. And that's the hard part of the journey. That's the whole point of it, is to get them back. And that was what his big challenge was. So he had to make a path back to the kingdom, back to where they had come from, because they could not go back the way they came. So he had to make them a path. And let me tell you, that it was rough getting there. He had to go through thorns. He had to go through water. He had to go through all sorts of stuff, climb mountains even. And yet he had to lead the way. He was the one that had to lead the way and make this path for them, to make this new way to get back to the kingdom, to be safe in the king's hands. However, the prince, he even sacrificed himself. He even gave himself his whole life to this mission, and he couldn't. He had to become the path to save the people. I tell you this story because it has a spiritual application to it. And a couple weeks ago, I gave a lesson on Jesus, how great a salvation that we have, and how great a salvation we have in Christ, and how Christ was a pioneer for our salvation, as it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 10, how he prepared the way for us and made a way for us to be saved. And that is... So today I'm going to talk about how we can become saved because He has made this path, because He has made this path for us, because we now have a better priesthood, a better sacrifice, and a better covenant, how we can become saved. And so today we have to take a journey on this path. So please come with me. Join me on this journey down this path. As we start to begin this journey, before we even start on any journey in life, we have to prepare. And that is the first point. We must prepare for the journey. Now, as in Boy Scouts, the Boy Scout motto is be prepared. You have to be prepared for whatever endeavor you go on. And I had a camping experience one time when I think I was about 9 years old. My brother and my cousin, we went out camping one day, and it's probably in the middle of July. It was so hot outside. It was hot out there. And my brother was like, when he was packing, he's like, I'm just going to bring a sheet or something to pack, because we probably don't even need it. It's so hot out there and humid. So we get out there, we have some fun, we go fishing, catch crawdads and all that fun stuff, and make the tent. And then when it's time to go to bed, it's nighttime, and it was not hot anymore. Let me tell you that it was rather cold. My brother, I don't remember the night very well, but my brother said it was one of the most miserable nights of his life. And he could just remember my teeth chattering the whole night. And how we could all three of us were cuddled under that sheet together that night. And we could have avoided this if we had prepared better, if we had had more preparation. So how do we prepare spiritually? How do we spiritually prepare for this journey of salvation? Well, before we ever become saved, before we ever take this path, we must hear about the path. We must hear, someone must tell us of this path that we must take, about how Jesus has made this way for us to be saved. And in Romans 10 verse 17 says, hearing, our faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. So if we want to have faith, we have to hear of the, or if we want to have faith, enough faith to go on this journey, we have to hear about it, hear about the way that Christ has prepared for us. And the more we hear about it, the more faith we will have in it. The more faith that we will have, that we will be able to get through it, to be able to believe that this really will lead to salvation. Next, after we hear about it, we must believe that the path will actually take us somewhere. We must believe that we are the person, or Jesus Christ is authentic. We must believe that He actually did die and was buried and was raised from the dead. We must believe in Him. And it says in Mark verse 16:16, which is the verse that the elders gave me for this lesson, says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So we must believe. Believing is very important. And Hebrews 11:6 says, whoever comes to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. We need to believe in God. We need to believe in Christ, and believe that this path will actually take us somewhere. So after we hear about this path, learn about it, and we believe that it will take us somewhere, we must obviously stop walking in the direction we're going. We're already going the wrong way. And the sooner we realize this, the better. Because then the sooner we start walking the right way. We must turn onto the right path. In other words, we must repent. We must repent of our ways. In Acts 3, in verse 19, it says, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come to you from the presence of the Lord. We need to repent and turn off this path that we are now on. The Greek word for repent, it means to turn over a new leaf. So we need to turn over, to literally change the direction we are. We need to turn from where we are going to the way we should be. And so these are things that we need to do to become prepared. And the last thing we must do is we must confess that it is the right way. We must confess that Christ is the only way to be saved. And that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So we must confess. We must confess our Lord, and we must confess that He is God and He has been raised from the dead for us to be saved. And so these are things just to prepare us. We are not, at this point, we are still not saved. We are not yet on the path to salvation yet. And so, what hinders us from taking these steps? I mean, most of us as Christians have already taken these steps. But if you're not a Christian, what hinders you from what you've already heard? What hinders you from believing? What hinders you from turning off the path that you are now on? What is so attractive about this path that you are on now? I mean, it says in Matthew chapter 7 that the wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. It is an easy path that we're on right now. The easy path that we're that sinners are on, that are not on the right path. It's easy to go down that way. However, it says it narrows the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to righteousness, or leads to life. And there are few who find it. It is very difficult to walk down that road. And that is probably the main reason that we have such a hard time to convert and to give our lives to God and to go back to the kingdom. Because this is hard. So I urge you, please, take this into consideration. Imagine how great it would be to be in His kingdom, though. It would be well worth going down the narrow way. It would be well worth going through that narrow gate to go enduring through those hard times. So, our next point is that after we have already prepared, after we have done all these things, we've heard, believed, repented, and confessed, we must perish. And that is the next point. We must perish. We must die to ourselves. This is found in Romans chapter 6. Or please turn to Romans chapter 6 and starting in verse 1. And Romans chapter 6 is here. Paul uses kind of a question and answer type technique throughout the book of Romans. Because at the beginning of some of the chapters, he asks a question and then a rhetorical question and answers it. So here he asks, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died to sin has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once and for all, but the life that He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Going back to this path, we have to... First John chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "He who says he abides in Him ought to walk as He walked." We must do what He did. We must do as He did. So, this passage is an example. To be saved, we have to die as Christ did. He died for our sins, and we also must die to our sins, so that we can be raised up as He was. We can be raised as He was raised on the third day. We are raised from baptism in newness of life, and He was alive to God, and now we also should be alive to God. And this is a great example in Romans of an illustration of how baptism saves us from and cleanses us from our sins. And at that moment, we are on the path of salvation and we are saved. However, living to God may not always be easy. We must perish. By dying to our sins, we also die to ourselves. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 27, Jesus says to His disciples, "Whoever desires to come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it." Now, many people have a misconception of what it means to take up your cross. Some people say it's a burden you must carry through this journey that we are on. It's a burden we have to carry. And yet, it isn't really just any burden. I'll tell you what the cross represented in those days. They didn't just see it as some sort of burden. They saw it as humiliation, and a symbol of humiliation, a symbol of pain and death. So, going back to humiliation, we must be willing to endure humiliation for Christ. Are we willing to do that? When we are baptized, were we willing to be humiliated for Christ? So often we are passive. We don't want to proclaim our faith. We're shy about it because we might feel somewhat embarrassed about it, and we don't want to be ridiculed for it. Are we really willing to take up our cross for Jesus and the cross of humiliation? And the cross was also a symbol of pain and agony. And he suffered pain on that cross, and we also must take up our cross and be willing to suffer pain as well. We're so blessed in this country to not have to suffer physical pain for being a Christian, but not everyone is that lucky. We know of Christians around the world who are persecuted for their faith in Christ. We know in the past, and we are told in the Bible, of people who are persecuted for their faith in Christ, such as Paul, who was persecuted greatly for his faith in God. And also it is a cross of death. And again, going back to us dying to ourselves, dying to our own desires, our own fleshly desires. We must do that and not live for our own pleasure, live for ourselves, but we must live for God. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So he does not live for himself. He was crucified with Christ. It is no longer he who lives in Christ's name. And he lives by faith. He does not live for himself. He lives for God. So what is it in your life? What is it in your life that causes you to not walk in newness of life, that causes you to not give your entire life to God, to die to yourself? This is probably the biggest challenge for us as Christians. The biggest challenge is to not live selfishly, to not live in a world that we are the center of it. So often we think of, like, we have jobs to see what we can get. We have jobs to... And we go places to see what fun we can have. We live for ourselves so often. And even I catch myself doing things for myself from time to time to see that I'm only trying to do this to benefit myself. Whenever we should have one of love, of self-sacrifice. One that represents Christ, to walk as He walked. As He loved us and gave Himself for us. Are we giving ourselves for others on this earth? Are we doing that for others? And one other passage about self-sacrifice is in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 22 through 24. Now if you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So at this point, he's giving us a choice. We can either choose to wear those corrupt clothes, to wear those old, former ragged clothes that we have on, or we can put on Christ, put on the new man, which is created according to God. So we can either live by the new man that we are born into when we are baptized, or we can live by the old man that we should have died to when we were baptized, that we should have died to. So on this journey, we have to perish to ourselves. We have to be willing to do whatever Christ did on this journey to be able to be saved, to be on that path of salvation. And this is pretty much it. We must hear and believe and repent and confess to prepare. And then once we die to ourselves, that is when we are saved. So what do we do then? We obviously have a job to do after that. We must proclaim the kingdom. We must proclaim this new way that Christ has given to us. And this is the part of the lesson that I want us to take the most from. So we must proclaim God's kingdom in this way that Christ has made for us. And whenever I hear about a new thing or a cool thing that I've just learned about. I want to tell others about it. And whenever someone else finds something cool, I want them to tell me about it, because I get so mad when they don't do that. Because one time my brother showed me this cool app one time, and I told my friends about it. I'm like, man, I knew about that like years ago. I'm like, why didn't you tell me about it, man? I was really mad at them for doing that. And so, this is how excited we should be about it. We should be so excited that we should wanting to tell others about it. We can't help but tell others about it. And how great a salvation that we have. It is an amazing gift to share with everyone. And we can see various examples of people just spreading the news of Jesus. In John chapter 2 and verse 41 and 42, when Andrew starts following Christ, he says he finds his own brother, and he tells him, we found the Messiah. He was excited. He was like, I got to tell my brother. I relate to that, because whenever I find something exciting, he's one of the first people I tell about it. So he was going to his brother, and he said, we found him. So he says the next verse in verse 42, he said he brings him to Jesus. He brought him there. He made sure that he had that opportunity. He was excited for him. And in John chapter 4, verse 28, that the woman at the well, whenever Christ told her about this living water and told her about, and Christ met her and told her like that she had about herself, even though she had not revealed these things to him. She was so excited. She heard all this teaching from him. She was excited. She was so excited that it said in verse 28 that she left her water pot there. She forgot what she was doing currently, and she went into the city and told the men about it. She was that excited that she forgot what she had came there to do originally, and just left all that and went to tell the men that she was so excited. She said, come, see this man who had told me everything that I'd ever done. Could this be the Christ? She was that excited, and she got other people excited to come and see him. And so, and in Acts chapter 9, at Paul's conversion, whenever after he was so completely against Christianity, he was going there to persecute the Damascus to persecute them. And then whenever Christ comes to him and he's blinded, and after that he decides to repent and be baptized. It says, after he spent a few days with the disciples, in the next chapter 9, verse 20, it says, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues. I find that amazing that he preached Christ in the synagogues in Damascus whenever he had come there to destroy them, to destroy Christianity. And that is amazing to me, that someone could be so excited about the gospel that he wanted to tell people about it, even though he is so new to it. Are you this excited? Are you as excited as Andrew? Are you excited as the woman at the well that she left what she was doing and went and told people about it? Are you as excited as Paul in your faith, or even if you're new to your faith, are you excited, so excited that you want to tell others about it? That you cannot help but tell others about it. Jesus left this part for us to do. He gave, in all four of the Gospels, he gave us the Great Commission, that we should go out into all the world and make disciples into all the nations. And are we doing this job? Are we proclaiming the way that he has prepared for us, that we are on currently? Are we telling others about this path? We need to further God's kingdom. This is how we further God's kingdom, is by telling others about it and finding ways to bring others to Christ and bring others to this path. So, do you fully appreciate the salvation that you have? Do you fully appreciate the sacrifice, this great salvation that God has given us today, this opportunity? How he suffered and made this path for us? Are we excited about it? Are we telling other people about it? Are we sacrificing ourselves and willing to be humiliated, go through pain, and die to ourselves and our own pleasures? Are we doing that? Do we appreciate this salvation that much? So if you do not, please think about it, meditate on it. Please try to appreciate this salvation that God has God has sent His own Son to die for us, to make this way for us. So please, think about that today. So today, I've told you about this path. I've told you about how to get to on this path of salvation. And so you've heard the words of, you've heard that of this way. You've heard of this path. And do you want to take it? Are you willing to believe and repent and confess and be baptized today? If you're not a Christian, you want to be on this path. If you want to go and journey with us on this path to salvation, to heaven with us, then you can today. You have that opportunity. You have to repent and turn off the path that you are now on, and be willing to go down the path of salvation and die to yourself and be buried and raised up a new creature. So, and if you are already a Christian and you have strayed from that path and you have gone off that path of salvation because you thought it might have been too hard at the time, you haven't completely died to yourself, then you have the opportunity to get back on that path today. You can start back on that path fresh. You can ask for forgiveness from God. And we will also pray for you. We will help you on this path. We are willing, this church, we are willing to help you on this path, even in your struggles. So today, if you want to take advantage of either of these opportunities, please come as we stand and as we sing.